from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hour number two here for you on Sports Daily. It is Albrecht and Kester. We are excited to be with you. IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try the decadent fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We will make football picks coming up in just a little bit in the next segment. Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage will join. We'll get you through. We'll actually have four NFL games this week, and then the two CFP semifinals, I should say, that will come in our pick segment today. All kinds of good stuff coming for you. I want to say thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a supporter of the program. The weather is cold, and that means it's a little tougher to get outside. But if you're a golfer, one great thing. And Tommy and I have pledged to do this at some point. We're going to get some wings, we're going to get some beers, and we're going to hit those Trackmans, those fancy, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a golfer,
the simulator,
you know what that means.
The indoor golf simulator.
Yeah, the simulator. Yeah. But I got some new clubs, Tommy. I got to figure out how to use those things. I'm going to go up there, and there's like a clinic. I got my goal in 25 is to be in the 90s consistently. That's my goal. Is that so hard to achieve? I don't think so. I think we can get there.
That's an admirable goal. I like that a lot. I think that's good.
It'd mean I'd need to drop. Oh God. I'd need to drop some strokes. I'm going to need to drop some strokes to get there, but we're going to get there. That's the goal. And so I'm going to be utilizing those simulators and some of the golf clinics from the great pros there, maybe throughout the winter here to get ready for a big spring of golf. So we appreciate their support of the program over at Crestview. We were talking before the break about the Shockers, the net rankings coming up. The Big 12, I don't know if the Big 12 has been as dominant as we would have anticipated, but inside, you know, the top 25, Tommy, you've got six Big 12 teams in the top 25 of the net rankings. You've got eight Big 12 teams inside of the top 30 of the net rankings, and nine inside of the top 40. The Big 12 is just fine. The Big 12 is going to be insanely difficult. You look down at where Kansas State lands. They're down at 115, only ahead of Oklahoma State. So they've got something to prove here in the conference if they can finally get it together. So we'll see. But, you know, it's going to be a tough league. We're going to see great games night in, night out. We're going to see a lot of surprises and upsets. It's a deep league, which is perhaps now concerning when you consider Kansas is all the way down at number 19 in the net. This was the preseason number one team. Is it safe to say it's been a disappointing start to the season for Kansas? I mean, they have big-time wins over big-time programs, right? They beat Duke, who's third in the net. I don't know where Carolina is in the net off the top of my head, but they have big-time wins. They beat Michigan State. Is it a disappointing start to the season for Kansas?
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that it is yet. You know, they beat North Carolina earlier this season as well. I mean, they've got some marquee victories in the non-conference. Of course, the way that you kick off conference play at home against West Virginia and the effort that they gave and the way that, you know, they fell behind by 20 points or whatever it was in the first half and had to claw back but lost that game to the Mountaineers. That's a disappointing start to Big 12 play for sure. But look, I think that, you know, we're one game into a 20-game Big 12 conference schedule. So there's a lot of time for the Jayhawks to get it figured out. But that being said, the Big 12 is always a grind. It just, that's the way that conference is. And especially now that you add in, you know, some teams that, you know, are, that make it even more difficult. You know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, that's for sure for Kansas, but I'm not willing to say that at 9-3 right now with wins against teams like Duke and Michigan State, that it's a disappointing start to the season for Kansas. But I do think that it can very quickly get out of control in conference play if they don't figure out a way to work around some of the deficiencies they've got.
I will agree. I don't think it's – it depends on the context of it. I think most people would say it's disappointing that they're number 20 in the net, basically going into conference play. I think that's disappointing for sure. But at the same time, if you told me that Kansas would make it through this portion of the season with three losses, I don't think I would have been stunned to hear that, right? That wouldn't have been stunning news to hear. They lost two road games against teams that are, well, let's just look. Creighton's not great in the net right now. In Missouri, Creighton's like 65, Missouri's 48. So, you know, it's not like their losses are good losses, but they've got a lot of good wins. It's a weird year. Like, there's a lot of teams up there. Illinois has three losses. Houston has three losses. Gonzaga has four losses. Michigan, UConn all have three losses. Maryland, those are teams ahead of Kansas right now, all with three or more losses. So I agree that I wouldn't call it disappointing, but there's something that is alarming about it, right? It doesn't feel as good as I thought it would feel. Three losses don't surprise me all that much, but I maybe it's that we need to see something different from this team. I don't know what it is, but it's how about uneasy? It's an uneasy start through this point of the season. I think that's fair. Disappointing, probably unfair. Uneasy, probably very fair.
Well, and you know, had they beaten West Virginia, they'd be 10-2 through one game of conference play. It'd be different. I mean, a 1-point loss to the Mountaineers, you know, at home to kick off conference play. I mean, I think that definitely gets you into uneasy territory, and I'm okay with that categorization of the Jayhawks at this point, because you know, concerning, disappointing, whatever adjective you want to use there, I'm not at that point. But like I mentioned, you're kind of teetering. You're teetering a little bit. And keep in mind, the next game that the Jayhawks play on the road at UCF, and UCF is not a slouch team. Like, they have played well to start this season. They're a good team coached by Johnny Dawkins, who's a really good college basketball coach, and it's on the road. They've got to shake off what happened in Allen Fieldhouse pretty quickly for that game on Sunday.
UCF right now is 65 in the net. So, yeah, again, a road game, that's going to end up being probably a quad two game. It's a good game. It's pretty wild, though. Like, I'm very unnerved. And I'll tell you the reason I'm the most unnerved. And I don't know if anybody even cares about this yet. I really will be really, really disappointed if Kansas is not playing in Wichita in March. That will be wildly disappointing for our city. And I want so badly for Kansas to turn this around, if for no other reason, that we need to have them playing in Wichita. K-State's not going to play in Wichita if they make the tournament. And it would have to be the most lucky thing of all time. Obviously, the Shockers aren't. They're not allowed to. It's got to be Kansas. And that's so important to our city, right? It's so important to putting on this great show. Like, there's this weird, weird pressure that they probably don't care about, but we do. I do. I feel it. I want that. It's going to be devastating if they don't play in Wichita. Like, that's kind of a part of the deal, right? And right now they're trending to not play in Wichita. They would not be rewarded as it currently stands with a trip to Wichita, I don't think, in the NCAA tournament. We need them to turn that around. We need that to be a no-brainer, right, that they get to play here.
Now, we're a long ways away from that.
I know,
right?
Like, they're going to have to really improve their stand. What's that going to take? Probably a top two finish in the Big 12 to be in that position to be a one or two seed in the NCAA tournament. So that's a big ask right now. I think, like, if we look at everything now, do I think any of the teams are currently ahead of them in the Big 12 stand in the net? I should say in the Big 12 that they're not better than any of those teams. I don't. But they still got to get out on the court and win those games. I'm ready for Kansas to start playing its best basketball, because it has not yet. It just hasn't.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, I think that they played really, really good basketball to start off the season. There were a couple of those early games against the big-time opponents, the Duke game, things like that, where I'm like, okay, this is a team that when they put it together, they do look like the number one team in the country. It hasn't been consistent. And I think that that's the thing that I'm hanging my hat on right now. And the reason why I'm not willing to cross that threshold from uneasy to concerned right now is because we've seen them do it. We saw them do it in a couple of the games against the top tier opponents in the non-conference, right? So the talent level is there. We know that the way that they can put it all together and when everything is clicking, be a really good and talented basketball team. So they've done it before. It's not like we're sitting there waiting like, we haven't seen it yet. No, we have. We have seen it yet. They just need to get it back. And so to me, that's not a lack of skills. It's not a lack of talent. It's not anything that like, remember a year ago, it was all about the lack of depth and how there was nobody that could offensively take a game over for Kansas. It's different this year because we've seen it. We've seen it a few different times. So for me, it's a lot of the intangibles. And that's what Bill Self has talked about over the last few days, ever since that loss, was the intangibles in place and the focus and the discipline and things like that. They just need to get that back. And I think they'll be okay because we've seen it before from them.
I think the Duke game was a great game. I think that's a long way from their ceiling. And I hope that they can get there. I think their ceiling is much higher than even the way they played in that game. But we'll get into that maybe as we make our way through, certainly after we see the games this weekend. When we come back, football picks. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming at you.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Hey, if you're on your work and want to keep listening to Sports Daily, even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can hold us accountable through the Odyssey app because you can go back and listen to these picks in our podcast form. And I would invite you to do that last week because Jad and I haven't talked, but I think I had a good week. I don't know how everybody else did. I don't know where Paul and TJ sit in their neck and neck race to the top, but how did it look last week, Jad?
Well, things actually looked pretty good. One of the things that happened is almost everyone had a really good week. In fact, Jacob, your 4-2 put you second to last.
Congratulations!
I love that.
Hey, yeah, baby, good.
But Paul, you're 1-5. Puts you in last place.
I saw this kind of coming. By the way, Jacob, you remember the comment you said? Don't play it safe. You play it the way you know.
That's
and I
right.
could.
You play
I
it
could
to win.
Play to win. We try to win by a nice amount, but gosh, it's not working out so good for me, is it? You know, this is going to be a three-peat. This is supposed to be my three-peat.
Are we seeing a Paul Brandon Staley Savage situation here?
Yeah,
is he fumbling it away in the fourth quarter?
Are we?
Well, yeah, you have. I mean, TJ's in the lead by a game now.
Let's go, TJ.
Here we go.
Let's rock and roll.
Here we go.
Hey, Jad, how did I do in the week? I think I had a pretty good week.
You went 5-1 as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you, TJ. Oh, no, you and TJ were the only ones that went 5-1. Brandon, you and Jacob went 4-2.
We've been paying it. What's the overall standard? We've only been paying attention to the top. Where does everybody else stand?
Okay, well, I can break this down for everybody. TJ's in the lead, 56-49. Paul is a game behind at 55-50. Let's see, who would be after that? Real quick count, looks like Tommy's next. Tommy, 53-52. Jacob, 51-54. Brandon, 45-60.
So, you know, I think Tommy and I are still in the mix there. Brandon's got the most work to do.
How you finish. We're coming on strong the last couple of weeks.
That's right. Running out of time, but we'll get to it. All right. Let's make sure we've got enough time. We mentioned those hard breaks now. So we're going to make sure we get all of this in. We've got six games. We only have two college games because that's where we are in the college football season. And four NFL games. We'll actually start with the NFL because they come first. And we'll start and try to get in the handful of games that have some meaning or value this week. And it starts with the Bengals and the Steelers. The Steelers are 1.5-point home underdogs, Tommy. You won the week last week. 1.5 point home underdogs. We know you hate the Bengals, but can they go to Pittsburgh and win and keep their hopes at a playoff spot alive?
Yeah, they can, and I think that they will. I'm not a Bengals fan, but I mean, I definitely think that they'll win by probably a touchdown, if not more. It's kind of up in the air about the status of the starters with Pittsburgh anyway. The Bengals have more to play for than Pittsburgh does. I think that the Bengals will win this game. I also think, though, that Miami is going to beat the Jets, and so it's going to be all for naught for the Bengals to make the playoffs, but I am going to take Cincinnati, and I'll lay those points.
Yeah, they don't know that, obviously, before they play. The Jets are. We're not picking that game, but that's only a one-point spread, Miami and the Jets, which is sort of interesting a little bit. TJ, where are you at with Bengals-Steelers? Bengals favored on the road.
You know me, every single time I make a pick, it's always for the most chaos possible. And the most chaos possible here is the Bengals somehow finding a way. So they're covering the spread on Sunday or Saturday, whenever the games are nowadays. I never even know. Bengals going to cover against you.
I think that puts me next. I'll take the Bengals as well. If we knew Pittsburgh was going to bring everything they had, I think this is a bad spot for the Bengals. But without knowing that, I'll take them. We'll see what Pittsburgh's able to bring. We'll see if Burrow can survive in that environment. I don't even know what the weather forecast is there. But yeah, Cincinnati has everything to play for. I'll take the Bengals. Brandon?
The Steelers are playing for a trip to go to Houston instead of Baltimore, which I think is very advantageous to everybody. But yeah, I just really like how the Bengals are playing. They're playing well as of late. Not going to fade them at this point. Give me the Bengals.
And Pittsburgh plays Baltimore well, but yeah, I think you'd rather play Houston. Paul, there's a chance for an island out there. You can take it with the home dogs here, a playoff team that is in position to get ready for things.
You know something? I'm tempted. I mean, I am tempted. I really am, because I was going to take the Bengals for the exact same reasons that all you guys just mentioned. I was going to take them. But you know something? I'm here to win. I'm here to win this thing. I got a chance for an island. Oh, you wipe that smirk off your face there. I'm telling you, TJ, wipe that. Come on now. Wipe that grin off. I'm taking the Steelers. Now you can put it on.
The Steelers play their starters. if the Steelers play their starters,
I'm going to take the Steelers.
It's not a good matchup for Cincinnati. All right, TJ, let's go to the next one. Somebody got to be playing for something for us to pick it. Saints at Bucks. Bucks are 13.5 point favorites, but the Bucks have to win. Bucks have to win to get into the postseason. So basically, you know, I think everyone thinks they'll win, but are they going to win by two touchdowns, which is always difficult in the NFL?
All I hope is that Paul goes full fade of me again, and we can continue. So that way I can keep holding this up. That's what I'm hoping he does here. In this one, I'm going to take the Saints to cover that number. You know, obviously, we talk about in the NFL how big these numbers get and how hard it is to cover those spreads against other NFL teams. Obviously, the Bucs have something to play for. I can see a good game here, especially with all the stuff going on in New Orleans. I think the Saints want to, you know, make a statement for New Orleans. So I'm going to pick them to cover this spread.
It is a big number. But I do like the Buccaneers. I think the Baker Mayfield thing is awesome. Mike Evans has some history on the line. They've got to get there. I think the Saints are just outgunned, and I think the Saints, the things that they do well or can do well, the Buccaneers defend well. So I think the Saints offense is really going to have a hard time in this game. I'll take the Buccaneers to cover the number. I'll lay the 13.5 reluctantly. Brandon?
The Saints stink. I don't know what they do well. I'd like the Bucs minus 13, even if they weren't playing for much, and they're playing for a division, so give me Tampa Bay.
All right, then we go to Paul. What do you think here? We've got a split decision here, so you're not going to get an island. Buccaneers, two touchdown favorites.
Well, you know, I hate to bring this up, but it's something you got to bring up and factor in. And that is, we always look at the ability to be able to concentrate on a game, to focus on a game. There's a lot of things going on in New Orleans right now, a lot of tragedy, a lot of hurt going on in that town. And as much as I'd like to see the Saints bounce into this game and get a win for the city, I don't know that they will. Partly because, guys, there's been some distractions in New Orleans this last week. And it hurts to see this thing for any city in America. But I'm telling you right now, it is a factor. I don't like making this a factor, but it is a factor. Because I think there's going to be a focus problem for the Saints, always thinking about what's going on in New Orleans. I'm going to take the Bucks. Now, I'm not comfortable with 13.5 points. I am not. That might be the biggest spread we've had all year in the NFL.
We don't usually get them that high. It's interesting, Tommy, because New Orleans has a history of a city of rallying well, Hurricane Katrina, some other things that have happened to that city. Can they rally enough here? I think we will see an inspired effort. I think we will see a lot of positive emotion out of that game. However it ends up, it will be good to see the Saints step into that role that they've all stepped into historically for a city that's dealt with tragedy. But when we talk about football, that's not a very good roster, and it's going up against a team with everything to play for. You comfortable with 13.5 points?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, this game is not in New Orleans. If it was in the... if it was in New Orleans, I would maybe have that be a little bit more of a factor in the game. Here's what's crazy. This tells you how weak the slate is on Sunday in the NFL. Fox is sending Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady to cover this game. Like, Tom Brady is going to be calling a Spencer Rattler game for the 5-11 Saints, if that tells you anything about the way that the slate is during the day on Sunday. This is Tampa Bay's game. I know it's a big spread. Baker Mayfield has been great, and they're playing for the division. I don't think the Saints are going to have an opportunity to prevent them from doing that. I think the Bucs win, and I think they win big. I'm going to take Tampa Bay, and I'll lay the points.
It is strange to have the Sunday regular windows not feature
bad.
Much meaningful action. but that's it. Look, that's just the way it goes. And we'll get to the most meaningful game in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, Chiefs Broncos. I think I'm first with Chiefs Broncos. I told you this yesterday. I think Carson Wentz can beat the Broncos. I'm not going to say the Broncos are frauds or aren't good or anything, but I'm going to say that the Chiefs backups aren't terrible. And it's not a preseason game. These are NFL caliber players now. And 10.5 points? I mean, the Chiefs have to play somebody. They got to put somebody out there. And I think Carson Wentz has a ton to play for, actually. So I'll take 10.5 points. I might put something on the money line just for fun in this game because I think they can beat Denver. But I definitely think they can cover 10.5 points. Brandon?
Yeah, the thing is, Carson Wentz is going to be throwing to Nico Remigio and Carson Steele for the most part. I just think Denver has too much to play for. They win and they're in. The Chiefs, I've been in this situation before, and there's not much to play for. I'm just going to ride Denver.
Yeah, but Remigio, what do they run out there? Three receivers? They only carry, what, six, seven? Like, they got to play somebody. Noah Gray.
Justin Ross, is he going to play this weekend?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but it will be fascinating. I just think... They've got a great coach, great coaches. Carson Wentz isn't a nothing burger. Like, I don't know. It will be – I'm actually pretty interested in the game, like far more than I normally would be, just because I think they've got a chance. Tommy?
I mean, this is, I think, not – I don't want to say no-brainer, but the spread is big enough, and I know it's Carson Wentz, but, I mean, it's 10.5. And I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will cover that number. I don't think it's going to be super difficult for them to cover that number. Do they win the game? I don't know. I mean, I could see the Broncos winning. But I do think that the Chiefs, in a double-digit spread, even with Carson Wentz starting the game, give me the Chiefs. I'll take the points.
All right, Paul, where are you at with this one?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what direction TJ's going to go in. I think he's going to talk about, well, the Chiefs and even Carson Wentz is going to be fine. And I know that this is a team that is fundamentally better than the Broncos. But my prediction is that TJ takes the Chiefs because he's not going to allow you guys to say, oh, there's TJ playing it safe again. There he is. Savage takes the Broncos and he takes the Broncos. Well, I'm taking the Broncos, TJ. Let's see what kind of man you are.
He got him on tilt, TJ. He's not busy. He's just worried about TJ and not the game, which is correct.
Well, Paul, I wish I would have written down what you just said so I could have sat here and said, I'm picking the Chiefs because all of you are going to say that TJ's playing it safe and picking the Chiefs. I was going to pick the Chiefs anyways. I'm in the same boat as Jacob. I'm utterly just fascinated with this game. This may be the most excited I've been for a Chiefs game all year just to see what happens because
you're really sicko.
Somebody has to play, and somebody's going to play well, and I want nothing more than a Carson Wentz redemption line. Give me the Chiefs covering the spread, maybe to win.
Oladukun's going to play a half. Do we not remember
that's
that?
Fine. Maybe it's a Chris Oladukun redemption story.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's to me, it's the defense, and is Denver really that good offensively? because, you know, at some point it's Spags. They're going to blitz like crazy, I think. I don't think they're just going to play. Again, I don't think they're going to. The Chiefs are treating this like a preseason game. I think they're going to run their stuff, and I think Spags is going to blitz, and we're going to see if a rookie quarterback can go and you know, beat the Chiefs by more than 10 points, basically. And it's a fascinating one. Brandon, we're going to let you lead this one off. Our resident Vikings fan. No respect. The Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. 3-point dogs on the road to Detroit. I got to think you're taking your Vikings here.
I'm not just taking the Vikings on the spread. I'm taking them to... They're going to be, by the end of Sunday, they're going to have the number one seed in the NFC North. They're going to have the NFC North title as well. And it's going to be a nice weekend of just watching football. No Chiefs next weekend. No Vikings next weekend. They're going to be on a bye. That's because they're beating Detroit. And for the crowd that's listening, I have my Justin Jefferson jersey on now. So.
There it is. You knew it was coming. Tommy, you're second on this one. At least we get one high-end, two great teams, everything on the line game this weekend, and they put it in primetime. It's going to be awesome.
I like the Vikings in this game. I know it's in Detroit, and I know the Lions are favored. Something about the Vikings just tells me they're going to win this game. Not only are they going to cover, I think they're going to win outright and spoil what the Lions want for the one seed. So give me the Vikings.
Paul, we're going to make TJ go first here because we did it the opposite last time. So TJ, Vikings, Lions, where do you stand on this one?
Well, if you want me to play the full tilt game, I know how much Paul Savage loves Dan Campbell.
You know, I saw him on Hard Knocks. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
I don't remember the name of the show. Paul.
Okay.
My bad. I forgot about that. Give me the Vikings in this one. Absolutely. I really, really want. I talked about Carson Wentz redemption story. I want Sam Darnold to be the franchise quarterback, whatever that's going to take. And I assume getting the one seed is going to help with that. I think they're going to beat the Lions next week. This week.
I am fascinated by this matchup. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see Minnesota try to defend what has become a pass-heavy, in some ways, Lions attack. I can't wait to see a just smashed-up Vikings defense. Lions defense try to stop the high-flying Vikings offense. I don't like doing this. This is crazy. I'm going to give Paul an island here because I know he's going to take Detroit. But I'm going to take the Vikings. It's just because the points. I'm just going to take the 3 points. I think this game is tight. I don't know if I think the Vikings are going to win or not, but I'm just going to take the 3 points because I do think these are awesome teams and a tight matchup, divisional game that should be a lot of fun. So I'm just going to take the points too. So there it is, Paul. You and Dan Campbell can go, you know, bite kneecaps together and ride off into the glory and the sunset because you have a chance at a Lions Island. Go ahead and take it.
I think I'm going to go ahead and take it, partly because Dan Campbell is my man. I like Dan Campbell. Throwback coach. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a throwback coach in today's NFL. Everybody, you know, you don't have to wear pedal pusher pants like they do in Miami to be a man's man. And this is a man's man. Dan Campbell is my man. I'm going with the Lions because, fellas, they win this game outright by 9 points.
Paul, what show was Dan Campbell on again?
That was Hard Knocks on HBO. And let me just tell you, it was a great show. Changed the way I feel about the Lions. Really did.
It was like 6 years ago.
Well, I know it was. It is getting old, isn't it?
It felt like there's going to be a lot of fourth downs going. So here's what we're going to do. We will not have time yet to pick these two college games. So let's do this. We'll sit here for about another minute or so. And then we'll pick the college games on the other side. For this NFL weekend, we get ready for it. We will we'll have all that for you, so we'll keep everybody here through a break. Do want to tell you that you can get in touch with the show, as always, on our video platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can do that always with us. Leave your comments there on the Odyssey app. You can also leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app, which is easy to do. There's a little microphone. So the show will get podcasted. Quick reminder, we shift over next week to Morning Drive. We're going to grow the show 7 to 9. Things for Sports Daily start at 7 a.m. beginning Monday. And for those of you that listen to us 9 to 11, again, nothing changes. You're still going to catch us in those same hours. We're just going 2 more hours. We told you yesterday, all of our insiders are coming with us on that. Brandon, TJ, Paul, everybody's making the move. That's no big deal. Nothing changes except you get more sports daily. And we hope that, well, we hope that you're excited about that. So when we return on Sports Daily, we have two more games to pick. We've got two more college football games. They play them on like Thursday and Friday. So we're going to pick them now. And then next week, we'll probably just pick all the NFL playoff games. So we're going to pick them now. You've got Penn State and Notre Dame. You've got Texas and Ohio State. Those are the two games. We're going to pick them on the other side. When we return, Sports Daily, coming right back. Welcome back in, everybody. CFB quarterfinals in the books. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland in as we make picks on this Friday, as we always do, taking you into the home stretch, really, of the college football season. So we're excited about that. That should be a lot of fun. And we're ready to do it. We're going to take you to the semifinal games now, which feature Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, and Ohio State. So let's do this. Let's start with Penn State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame right now is a 1.5-point favorite in that game, Tommy. The Irish have looked solid, really, all the way through this thing. They seem to be one of the hotter teams in the country. I do think we're all sort of sleeping on Penn State, though. Are you riding the Irish here? Can the Nittany Lions and James Franklin finally get the big one?
Yeah, I'm going to ride Notre Dame on this. I feel like the momentum is carrying them, and it's nothing against Penn State. I think Penn State is a fine football team. They clearly deserve to be in the semifinals. But after watching what Notre Dame did to Georgia, and it really wasn't I don't feel like it was because Georgia was shorthanded at quarterback. I just feel like Notre Dame was the better football team. I'm going to go ahead and continue to ride with the Irish. I'm going to lay the 1.5. I think that they'll be competing for a national championship.
Oh, Paul, the Irish have been a great story. It's hard to erase the loss that they had early in the year, but boy, that seems like a lifetime ago. Where do you stand on this one?
Well, I got you, and particularly, wasn't it Northern Illinois was who the loss was to?
Correct.
That's what's even crazier, isn't it, if memory serves correct. But anyway, I was stunned at the physicality of Notre Dame. I mean, I've watched them on and off all year. Georgia, if I was to ask you, give me a couple, two or three teams, the most physical teams on both sides of the ball in the trenches, I think you guys would have all said Georgia. You might have said Texas as well, and Texas was physical. But I'll tell you what, it's hard to sleep on Notre Dame at this point, but I am going to sleep on them. I'm going to take Penn State, and I think Penn State has a way. I was impressed with them as well. I think TJ's probably going to take Notre Dame, so I'm taking Penn State. I'm not falling down on this deal. I'm taking this serious. My mission is to three-peat on Sports Daily Friday Football Picks. I'm taking Penn State because you know something? I'm a fighter.
Well, then we'll see if TJ as a fighter is going to take the Fighting Irish here. TJ, where do you like this one?
As I'm listening to Paul list off all those reasons, I was thinking in my head, God, I really don't want to pick Penn State, but made it easy on me. He picked Penn State, so give me the Irish.
All right.
I picked for me.
All right. There it is. Brandon, we've no island here. Are we sleeping on Penn State? Like, of these four teams, Penn State's talked about the least, for sure. And they've looked impressive in the playoff.
Yeah, they have, but Notre Dame is going to be by far the toughest team they have played. TJ and I talked about it on Sports Daily on Monday. I picked Notre Dame to get to the national championship, so I'm going to keep riding with them. I love this Fighting Irish team.
All right. That leaves just me, right?
That's right.
I grew up an Irish fan. There's no chance I'm picking Penn State here. I want to see if Notre Dame can get it done. My entire life as a kid, I watched every year and hoped that Notre Dame, they never could. So maybe it's now when I, pay far less attention to them, that they're able to get that done. I'll take the Irish here. They are playing really well. I do think, though, like, Penn State's not getting talked about. They've been really good in the playoff, and they've had that path, but give me the Irish. So there's one. Here's the other. Texas, Ohio State. There are a lot of people, Paul Savage, crowning Ohio State as the champion already. They're 6-point favorites against the Longhorns. You buying that?
I don't know, because here's the thing. I had Oregon last week, And I thought to myself, I got the number one seed in the entire tournament, and I'm on an island with Oregon? How sweet is that? But it didn't work out too good for me, did it? It did not work out at all, as a matter of fact. Now, here's the one thing about Ohio State. I couldn't tell how physical they were and how good they really were because the first half of that game was such a big blowout. I mean, it turned out, you know, what, 34-0 before, you know, before Oregon even sniffed a score? I'm telling you, that was crazy. I did not see that coming. So I know Ohio State's pretty good. But on the other hand, let me point out that Texas in the first half against Arizona State was as physical as anybody as I've seen all year long. And I thought Texas was impressive. Now they let up off the gas on for a little bit, but I thought Texas was impressive. If Texas plays an entire football game, Texas beats Ohio State outright, let alone getting 6 points. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 6 points, and I'm going to go ahead and take Texas, and I'll bet you a dollar to a donut I'm on another island because I know you guys have been drinking the Kool-Aid on this one.
Nah, you're not going to be on an island. I'm not taking Ohio State. They're getting too much love. Who's their coach? Who's their coach?
Ryan Day.
That's right.
He won a playoff game.
That's a little too much credit for me. I think Texas is good, guys. I think Texas is really good. I think Ohio State is really talented. But I think Texas is really talented. You kidding me? I'll take the Longhorns in 6 points. I'll just take 6 points. But I think Texas is getting overlooked a little bit here. And let's not forget what happened to Ohio State when they played a really good defense in Michigan. They're about to play a good defense again. Maybe not as good. Texas, you know, kind of been a letdown a little bit defensively in the postseason. But they can score quick just like Ohio State can score quick. Give me the Longhorns. Give me the 6 points. Tommy?
I think that the bottom line is that Texas has been playing with fire a lot lately, and it's eventually going to burn them. And I think it's going to burn them in this game against Ohio State. I've liked the Longhorns all year, but there's just been something about at least the last few weeks when they've not been able to really put their foot on the throat of their opponents and put teams away. And because of that, and because of the fact that Ohio State is trending up and what we saw out of the Buckeyes and Will Howard, in that matchup against Oregon, I'm going to go ahead and ride Ohio State. I'm going to lay those points. I think it'll be Ohio State and Notre Dame in the championship.
That's what most people think, Brandon. Are you with most people?
Also on Monday, I picked Ohio State to go to the national championship. So here we are. I'm going to keep riding Ohio State. I do think it is fascinating how the seeding has worked out. All of these teams, the top four teams, all lost. 5, 6, 7, 8, all won home games the week prior. It's been fascinating to see how the CFP has worked out. But yeah, I think it's going to be Notre Dame and Ohio State, both covering spreads and both getting to the national.
Oh, TJ, you Paul went Texas. Are you just going to keep playing contrarian?
First of all, I got two things to say. First of all, I don't think Paul watched the games because he picked the team that was a 14-point favorite and squeaked by in double overtime. And then he picked against Notre Dame, who just dominated Georgia. So he's picking Texas. Second of all, you brought up Texas playing with fire. Their best win this year was against a team that just lost the Las Vegas Bowl. Texas A&M. They kind of had an easy schedule, and not a lot of people talked about it. They lost to Georgia twice. Now they're with a really good Ohio State team. Ohio State just beat a really, really good defense and the number one team in the country and blew them out, and I think they're going to do it against Texas too. They're the national champions, and they're favored by 6 for a good freaking reason, because they're really, really good.
All right, you say Texas has played a weak schedule. Let's just take a look at that real quick. They won big at Oklahoma.
Well, that's okay.
They won at College Station. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just looking here. What's really great about this? It, you know what would make this a lot easier? These two teams had a common opponent. Oh wait, they do. Who was it that Ohio State lost to there? That real dud game? No, the real dud game there.
The Michigan game.
That's right. They did lose to Michigan. If only Texas had played Michigan on the road at Michigan this year, maybe we'd have. Oh, that's right. They beat Michigan by 19 points this year. So if we want to go back and look at schedules, let's look at the common opponent there. Ohio State's playing much better. I don't want to give too much credit to Texas here, but come on.
Let's
now.
pull up the box scores from August, why don't we?
Or we could look at the team that they both played and see how they both fared, right? Like, we can talk about A&M all we want. Ohio State never played A&M.
If we're doing that, BYU beat SMU, why aren't they in the playoff?
Because SMU lost to Penn State? I don't know. It is what it is. Look, I don't want it to sit here and defend Texas, but we're not going for Ohio State, are we? Are we that mad at Texas for leaving the Big 12?
It's not about that. I think Ohio State's a better team than Texas is.
I think they might be. Where's Vince Young when we need him, right? That's it. That's the picks. That's our college picks. That's our pro picks. You've got them all there on the Odyssey app to go back and visit. Brandon, TJ, thanks. Hope you guys are ready to wake up early each and every week next week. It's going to be early.
Can't wait. Get ready for it. If you think that these picks are enthusiastic now, wait till we're making them at 8 in the morning.
It's going to be wild. That's for sure. Paul's probably up early. You know, you go to bed at 8:30 at night.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and then I go up, chop a little wood, get it ready for the morning and start the fire. Yeah, that's right.
Milk the cows, yeah, slop the pigs,
yeah, that's it.
Feed the chickens.
All right, Brandon and TJ, we'll see you next week. One other quick topic that I want to hit before we say goodbye today. Saquon Barkley's not going to play, Tommy, in the Philadelphia game, which means he's not going to break Eric Dickerson's record. I totally agree with Philadelphia on this. I got no issue with it. And now we can at least avoid the conversation Saquon got to play the extra game to break the record, right? Like, this wasn't like when Adrian Peterson came up 9 yards short, right, in whatever year that was. Like, Saquon, if he broke the record, we were going to have to talk all the time about, oh, does he deserve it? And, you know, all these things that go into it. But now we don't have to worry about it. And that was the right thing to do, in my opinion, is to sit him. He's everything for the Eagles. So I got no issue with it. And he's just not going to have the record. But was he really going to have the record anyway?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season, and you can't take anything away from him for that. He's been fantastic. And so I've got no issue with the Eagles sitting him in this meaningless game for them. And the opportunity to have him be fresh and healthy for the playoffs, I'm good with.
Yeah, Jacob, as a matter of fact, if you don't mind me throwing in on this one, I would have chastised the Eagles if they did play him.
Yeah.
So it's just total opposite of what you're saying, and it's exactly right. But listen, I would have said, what is wrong with the Eagles? Why are you doing this? That record is not that important. Being ready to play into the playoffs, how about that for being important?
Hey, before we wrap up the show, I want to really quickly jump in here. Our Friday Fit is happening again today. I know, Paul, you've been admiring my clothing
from
my friends over at 3570 Golf Company. Yeah. This is the Caw Polo, by the way. It's got little imprints of the state of Kansas on it, which is just awesome.
I love it.
I'll let you get a closer look, Paul,
but
once we go to break
look.
Here.
I love the
look. It's so great. We really want to thank them for supporting the show. You can get your hands on that apparel by going online to 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy for 10% off, and we really do appreciate that.
Looking good, though, Tommy.
Thank you.
Appreciate them, their support of the program. They're also carrying with us into, we'll call it our new year, even though it's on January 6th. Our new year is coming with a big change here on Sports Daily that we're really excited about. So, one more time on Monday, you can get us 2 hours earlier. Can still catch us 9 to 11 like you always have. Now you can get more Sports Daily, though, starting at 7 a.m. It's been a while since this show's been on that early, but that's what we're going to do Monday. We appreciate everybody's support in that transition. Here we go. It's going to be a blast. Enjoy the football this weekend. Enjoy the basketball this weekend. We will be back bright and early Monday morning to talk about it all on Sports Daily.